When it comes to mortgages, and in this case subprime mortgages, the overall market is much bigger than you might think. Loans, like the ones we just heard about from New Century, end up in the hands of thousands of investors, individuals, pension funds, mutual funds. The loans are sold off in the form of mortgage-backed securities. Bill Wheaton, a professor of economics at MIT, explains.
Mortgage-backed securities enable anybody to own a share of a very large pool of mortgages. So you take, for example, 1,000 mortgages, and you bundle them up in the income, the monthly mortgage payments, go into a pool, and then investors own a share of that pool. And that helps really diversify risk a great deal. So rather than owning one mortgage, an investor might own 1,000th of a pool of 1,000 mortgages.
So that pool includes both some high-interest rate mortgages and some low-interest rate mortgages and all sorts of different kinds of mortgages.
No, what's generally happened in the mortgage market is starting in the late 70s and early 80s, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac created a secondary market for pools of what are called conforming mortgages. Mm-hmm. So those are folks who put at least 20% down and have good credit. The subprime market really didn't emerge until the mid-90s. And Fannie and Freddie play no role in that. Mortgage originators, specialists in providing mortgages to riskier individuals or riskier properties, bundle those mortgages up. They send them to Wall Street where they're bundled up, and then investors buy a share of those pools there. And the markets are really completely segmented at this point.
Well, let's say that one of our listeners is driving home right now, stuck in traffic on the way to a home in a middle-class, well-to-do suburb, a home which he put 20% down for. He's been making his payments, and he's got a reasonable rate. It's not adjustable. What's the impact of all this on that person, if any?
Well, that person might escape, but the question I think people should ask themselves is, am I in a part of a city or a market where nearby to me there are some people who have bought houses with subprime credit? Because as those people get foreclosed upon, those houses are going to suddenly go on the market. And that's going to put a lot of downward pressure on house prices in that area. And you might find that a year from now, brokers are telling you, gee, your house is, you know, worth considerably less than we thought a year or two ago because there's so many houses on the market because there's been so many foreclosures.
It's really kind of a double whammy, isn't it? Because not only is an additional house put on the market increasing supply, but that homeowner probably isn't going to be a very vigorous buyer now, and so you've reduced the demand.
Absolutely. If the only possible upside I can see this, or for the only people for whom I can see an upside in this scenario, is if you happen to be, for example, a rental landlord in one of these areas, and you could well see a substantial increase in your tenant base.
What do we know about the psychology of living, say, in a rising real estate market? When people think about how much they're worth, they might have a 401k. Some still might expect a defined benefit pension, but people also have that nest egg that they imagine they have in their home. What happens if people all across the country start thinking that that nest egg is more like a little robin's egg, not a full-blooded egg?
Well, I think there are two effects. First of all, some of them might try and get out of the housing market. But the problem is if you try and sell your house, you have to buy another house. So that's not clear that that's a very major impact. A more likely impact is that you start thinking about not retiring quite so early because you can't sell your house and rent and have as much money to use to actually consume and live off of as you retire. A number of economists have sort of tried to estimate whether they think a significant reduction in housing values or wealth would cut consumption enough by consumers to throw the economy into a recession. And I personally think that the slowing housing market, the cooling housing market, could well slow economic growth, but I don't think it'll be strong enough to actually put us into a recession.
Well, Professor Bill Wheaton, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Bill Wheaton, economist at MIT, talking about the subprime mortgage market.